We just heard from Labor's Tanya Plibersek on the ongoing conversation around net zero by 2050 and tension within the coalition about how to achieve that without job losses. So what is the target and how do we prepare? Tony Wood is the director of the Grattan Institute's Energy Program. Welcome back to RN Drive, Tony.
Good evening, Paul.
So what is the idea behind the net zero target?
Well, it's interesting how this has emerged quite quickly because it wasn't that long ago we kept talking about we're going to reduce emissions by a certain percentage by a certain date and all sorts of interesting other technical definitions. But net zero is a very recent phenomenon. And in some ways, it's quite simple. What it's really saying is, look, before the Industrial Revolution, greenhouse gas emissions by people and animals was pretty well absorbed by plants and oceans and everything was in balance. Unfortunately, we've screwed that up, and now the objective is to get back to the point where the environment is in balance, which means that every ton of emissions that we put into the atmosphere must be balanced by a ton of emissions coming out of the atmosphere, and that's what the net zero means. The pluses equal the minuses. It's hard, it's going to be hard to do, but that's what that's all about.
So Australia's being pressured to commit to this target ahead of the climate talks in Glasgow in November. There's tension, as we know, bubbling away within the coalition's junior party room. Why is November, though, an important deadline for this debate?
Well, in some ways, deadlines come and go, and I don't know that the sky's going to fall if this one comes and goes as well. Mm. But I think there's the other thing that's happening here is it's also in the lead-up to the next federal election, and there's increasing concerns, I think, in the Liberal National Coalition that they may very well need to have a stronger approach to climate policy this time around than they did back in 2019 when they defeated the Bill Shorten-led Labor Party, who probably didn't make a great fist of how they proposed to reduce emissions. So the global thing is important because we do have, we are members of the global community. We do want to be seen to be contributing our fair share to what this is all about. And the challenge for, I think, Scott Morrison is how far can he go without blowing up the coalition? Because he doesn't want to be another leader of the coalition parties that came a cropper on climate change. But equally, he's got to go far enough so that he doesn't lose seats for the next election. And that's a delicate balance. It's not clear yet how he's going to do it. That's ahead of him. I don't think it's impossible, by the way. But it remains a challenge, not just to set this emissions target, but also to lay out a plan for how Australia could actually meet that net zero emissions target and what that would actually mean for jobs and across the economy.
It feels important, though, at the moment that the coalition does reach an agreement on this in the coming weeks. It feels like something has shifted. Are you confident that they will actually be able to stitch up an agreement on this in the weeks ahead, as the Prime Minister has suggested?
Look, I think pragmatic politicians who want to stay in government tend to be pretty good at this, and we'll see whether Scott Morrison and Barnaby Joyce can achieve that outcome. And what we also have seen only in the last couple of weeks is a number of Liberal Party backbenchers carefully putting their head above the parapet and talking about the fact that they want the government to commit to net zero by 2050. The Treasurer was talking about some of the concerns for the economy if we don't. And even the previous leader of the Nationals, Michael McCormack, was talking about the impact of our exports if we don't as well. So the global community is moving on this, and we are part of that global community because we export so much of our agricultural produce and our minerals resources, and many of the jobs in those sectors do depend upon the global community buying and wanting to buy our products, and hopefully they'll want to buy our low-emission products in the future.
Is there a pathway to net zero by 2050 which doesn't risk jobs in regional areas or increase electricity prices? Because they're the two things that we've heard from critics about net zero by 2050 for some time now.
Well, both of them are important. So if you look at the electricity sector, we've done the analysis, we ran the numbers, and we can get to very strongly towards net zero by 2050 or even earlier, with no significant impact on electricity prices. The system would remain reliable. Yes, we would need to build more transmission to balance the wind and solar as the coal-fired power stations close, but that is doable, and the impact on costs would be very, very small. We need well under the sort of carbon prices anyone else in the world is paying. In transport, we could almost do it at a negative cost because having an emission standard on our vehicles would actually mean we'd have access to vehicles that are already cheaper to operate and to run, but with Progressive would become even cheaper. The area where things get a bit more difficult is in the industry side, where we employ about 100,000 people in carbon-intensive manufacturing jobs. Those jobs are almost certainly, not tomorrow, but over the next couple of decades, going to disappear as the people who buy our oil and coal and gas gradually turn away from that. Now's the time to be thinking about how we're going to replace those jobs. Australia is in an unusually strong position to be able to take advantage of a huge continent with our wind and solar resource and our minerals resource, that is our iron ore resources, but also what's called critical minerals, the sort of things that are going to be made into metals to deal with a very electrified future. And we've got those resources in abundance as much as many other countries. So we've got an opportunity here to replace those exports of LNG and coal, those jobs that are in the carbon-intensive industries, with value-adding real manufacturing jobs, not pie in the sky, real manufacturing jobs based upon those advantages. The opportunity is there. It won't be easy to do, but I'm sure given our history, we should be able to do it.
I suppose the other question is 2050 soon enough to reach zero emissions?
Well, 2050 is 30 years away, but it's coming at us fairly quickly. So we've got to think about it very hard. What are the policies we can put in place now to start bending the curve of our emissions growth towards net zero by 2050? Now, as we do that, what we almost invariably find, if we use efficient mechanisms to encourage inventors, innovators, investors to invest in new low-emission technologies, what will happen is the cost will come down. And if we find we need to, we can always move a bit faster. But if we don't start, we never will. And so that's why it's also important to get started, because we know from all of our experiences that the cost of technologies will always be lower than we think it is when we start.
Tony, good to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Tony Wood, Director of the Grattan Institute's Energy Program. This is RN Drive.